Let's rise and continue with our first hymn, 293. Announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For a day in your courts
is better than a thousand elsewhere.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, yes, thanks to the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house,
ever singing your praise.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God
than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Behold our shield, O God.
Look on the face of your anointed.
For a day in your courts
is better than a thousand elsewhere.
Church with your perpetual mercy. And because of our frailty, we cannot but fall. Keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. From the Catechism, questions 27, 28, and 29. Should all people fear, love, and trust in God? Yes. He created all people to live under his care and to trust and rely upon him. He is the one true God who reveals himself in Jesus Christ, the world's only Savior. There is no other God. Psalm 22. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. Acts 17. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. 1 Corinthians 8. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. What does it mean to fear God above all things? It means to take God seriously as our Creator and Judge. He means what he says when he threatens to punish those who disobey. Proverbs 8. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Matthew 10. And do you not know those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul? Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Then they ask you to read Psalm 96, where he tells you to fear the one true God who made all things and who will judge the world. And then question 29. What does it mean to love God above all things? It means that we cherish and adore God more than anything else and gladly devote our lives to him. Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. John 11. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then they ask you to also read Mark 10. The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is written in the 4th chapter of Proverbs, beginning with verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. To declare your steadfast love in the morning. Our epistle reading is written in the 5th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth, beginning with verse 16. When I say walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise as we continue with the Alleluia verse printed in your bulletin. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Praise to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall follow before. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 11. As Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. saved by faith in Jesus, based on our gospel reading specifically, rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. So Jesus tells this man cured of his leprosy that his faith saved him. And this is fantastic news and a great comfort that Lutherans hold very dearly, that you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and not by your works. This means that your works cannot condemn you. If your salvation depended upon what you did and how well you did it, you would never have certainty that you are saved. You'd constantly be asking yourself, have I done enough? And your consciences would be perplexed until your very last breath. But since you are saved by faith, not by works, your failings and your past sins cannot condemn you. Now, dear saints in Christ, it is not because faith is some tremendously good work that it saves. Rather, faith saves because it holds on to Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him, that is, in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, who became man and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, who suffered and died for your sins and rose for your justification, who ascended into heaven and currently sits at the right hand of God's power. If you believe in him, you will have eternal life. Not if you believe in Allah, not if you believe in yourself, or your money, or the government, or power, or any other false god. Faith is only as good as what it holds on to. If your faith is in Jesus, then your faith saves. But if your faith is not in Jesus, then your faith does not save you, no matter how strong it might be. Your faith has saved you is such a simple statement. Still, it is totally misunderstood. Many treat faith in Christ as lightheartedly as knowing the score of a football game. Well, who won the game last Sunday? The Vikings did? Well, that's too bad. Now I'll continue on with the rest of my life as if they would have won. What's that you say? Jesus died upon the cross for my sins? And if I believe in him, then I'll be saved? Hey, that's great. Thanks for the information. Now I'll continue on with my life just as I did before I had this faith. This man healed in the text did continue on like that, did he? Rather, his faith compelled him to return to Jesus and give thanks. As soon as he saw that he had been cleansed, the man ran back to Jesus. And this is what faith does. You see, faith isn't simple knowledge. Faith is trust. Faith wants to be with the one in whom it has faith in. The man wanted to be with Jesus. The psalmist expresses this faithfully with the sentiment perfectly in the intro from this morning. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The man praised and gave thanks to God at Jesus' feet. He recognized God in Jesus. So he went to Jesus to give thanks. He recognized that God promised to be where he promises. And so it is with you. You have faith in Christ. You want to be with him so that you can receive his forgiveness and his blessings, so that you can thank him and sing his praises. The great Lutheran hymn describes it perfectly when it says, "Heaven itself would be void and bare if our Lord Jesus Christ were not there." So you as Christians, go to where God has promises to be, where your Savior Jesus promises to be. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," Jesus promises. Well, where is he? Jesus is where his word is taught in its truth and purity, where sacraments are properly given and administered, where you have God's promise of forgiveness. There you have Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, there you have the Lord. And that is where Christians gather, like the healed leper, to give thanks and praise. You'll notice that Orthodox, conservative, confessional Lutheran pastors emphasize the wonderful benefits of coming to church to receive forgiveness from Christ. And we'll even criticize other forms of worship that focus almost exclusively on praising God and giving thanks. While it is true that God doesn't need your praise or thanksgiving, you need his forgiveness and his word a whole lot more. Your faith will compel you to sing praises to God. Faith wants to thank him for all he has given you, all these good things. That is why your divine service focuses both on you receiving God's grace and then on you responding with thanks and praise. Faith is so simple. And you don't need to understand the whole Bible to be saved. Nevertheless, faith is never finished learning. Isn't it amazing that the book that teaches salvation by faith alone still has a whole lot of instruction for you? King Solomon wrote in this morning's Old Testament reading, "Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil." These words of wisdom were written for Christians who trust in the God of Israel. These words were written for those who have saving faith. Well, if they have saving faith, why then do they still need instructions? Because instruction strengthens your faith in. It sustains and increases your faith in. It brings you closer to Jesus. It teaches you how to fight Satan and your own sinful flesh. Because saving faith does not stop at being saved, but continues to learn more and more out of love and trust in Christ. Faith saves without your works, and despite of your sins. This does not mean that you can continue in sin without repentance. St. Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Christians in Galatia, "Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, when Paul wrote this, did he deny that you are saved by faith alone? Certainly not. But if you have faith in Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. This means that if you have saving faith, you are constantly at war with your sinful desires. You will continue to struggle with sin, but you will struggle. One who does not struggle, but goes headlong into sin without repenting, cannot at the same time have saving faith. Saving faith constantly turns the sinner from his sin to Christ for needed forgiveness. St. Paul writes, "Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And he means it. He's not saying that those who sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. He is saying that those who devote themselves to these things without repenting do not have saving faith, so they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is why faith is constantly drives you to Christ, because you will sin. You need Jesus each and every day, and Jesus receives sinners no matter their sin. The 10 lepers cried out in today's lesson or reading for mercy. A couple weeks ago, you learned about the tax collector who in the temple prayed, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And you learned how the word he used for mercy was a special word, propitiation. The tax collector prayed that God would be propitiated to him, meaning that God would accept the sacrifice of his sins and not be angry with him. Now, the word that the 10 lepers used for mercy is not the same word. It is a much more common word. In fact, it is the same word you use when you sing, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy," after the intro. This word for mercy is much broader. It doesn't only mean, "Lord, forgive me." It also means, "Have pity on me." You can pray that God have mercy upon you for an array of problems. "Lord, have mercy upon me. I can't pay my bills." "Lord, have mercy upon me. I have cancer." "Lord, have mercy upon me. A hurricane is going to destroy my parents' home and they are trapped inside." "Lord, have mercy upon me. My husband is leaving me. My child is sick. I have a drinking problem." And of course, "Lord, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner." Saving faith cries, "Lord, have mercy upon me." But not only to ask for salvation, saving faith asks God for all things. Often you think that God will take care of your spiritual problems, but those real world problems, well, you need to figure those out for yourself. But God wants you to ask Him for all things. All those things, both great and small. God wants you to expect every good thing from Him. He wants you to believe that just as He has provided you a Savior and eternal life, that He will also take care of you from day to day. This trust in the Lord is a fruit of saving faith. The man who returned to give thanks to God was a foreigner. Even worse, he was a Samaritan, a most hated foreigner. Nevertheless, he had faith. Salvation comes by faith. It does not matter what nation you are from, what color your skin is. Jesus died for all people. God promised Abraham that through his offspring, all families of the earth will be blessed. Everyone is blessed through faith. Dear saints in Christ, faith saves because it grasps on to Jesus. Is your faith strong? Well, of course, it can always be stronger, But the better question is your faith in Jesus? Jesus can save you even if you have a weak faith. But your faith must be in Christ. You must trust in Him alone for your salvation. Because only Jesus has the power to save you. Only Jesus died for your sins and rose for a new life. If your faith is in Jesus, then you have faith that saves you. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Great Physician, you will that the pains and ills of this life should draw us to the feet of your Son. Strengthen and focus our faith in every trial and trouble, that they would redound to faithful worship in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, grant that the gospel may continually be preached for our instruction and edification. Bless the word that you have spoken to us, and by your Holy Spirit increase our saving knowledge of you, that day by day we may be strengthened in the divine truth and remain steadfast in your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Father of all, hear us on behalf of the fathers of your church. Impart to them the boldness of Solomon to exhort their sons in wisdom and justice, that they may persist in the way of salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Jennifer, Emily, and Donna. continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, King of kings, preserve all authority from violence and fraud, corruption and cowardice. Endow them with courage, integrity, and wisdom to preserve peace and governing according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The lepers came to your Son for mercy. Send your merciful hand upon the sick and needy, including Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, and Belinda. Grant that their sickness would be turned to health and their troubles to joy. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Great physician, you are the source of life and health. You have raised up those who you heal and injured have been injured among us. Bless the doctors and nurses with skills and sincere compassion. That those who are restored to health may render worship and thanksgiving to you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you gave your Son once upon the cross, and you give to us his life-giving body and his Holy Supper. Teach us and strengthen us by this sacrament to crucify our flesh daily, that we may walk according to his Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of hosts, you have prepared the church of Christ to be a lovely court in the midst of a troubled world. Form our hearts to long for a place where your glory dwells, that we may find healing and peace at your feet. Through your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with 307. You may be seated.
Thank you.
thanks unto the Lord our God. Truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your soul. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your soul. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your soul. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your soul. This is the true body of Christ, this is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your soul.
Shed.
This is the keeper of baptismal grace.
Take true blood, drink the Lord and Savior, blood of Jesus Christ.
Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, drink, Please rise, we continue with the Nunc Dimittis. Beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us to the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Countenance upon thee and give thee.